Hey guys, Elliot Hulse here, and I got a guest on the line. I am incredibly excited, and I'm not just saying that because I'm always freaking excited, and my wife makes fun of me because every video that I make of Elliot Hulse, the excited guy. I am literally, from the bottom of my heart, really excited to talk to the gentleman that I have on the call here, and I want you to listen to this conversation. I want you to listen to our candid call and conversation intently. Pick up a pad and pen if you don't have one right now. Go grab one. The gentleman that we're going to be speaking with is brilliant with regard to helping you reach your absolute potential in health, fitness, and becoming the best version of yourself. But the way he does it, and you know me, I'm always digging deeper. He's not a superficial guy. He's not going to tell you like how many reps and sets to do. He's not going to tell you, you know, what the latest diet is. The way he does it is he digs very deep into the physiology and the physiological reasons why you're not losing fat or your testosterone's low, why you're just not cranking the way you should be cranking, why you're not feeling the way you should be, why your sex drive is low, why you have no energy and you have to drink coffee 5 times a day. Anything that you're dealing with that is less than the maximum you, less than your potential, he knows why it's happening, and he works on straightening all that crap out before you're worried about how many bicep curls you can do. And this is what gets me excited. This is what gets me fired up, because this is the truth. This is the foundation. This is the bottom line. This is the etiology. It's the roots. It is where everything that you want and you're unable to get comes from. And when you understand what he's going to teach us tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight, you're not only going to have a head full of cool stuff that you might be able to try out, you're going to be empowered. He's literally giving you the steering wheel to drive the direction of your life, to change the direction of your health and your fitness, your happiness. And that's why I'm so excited. He also, I know you guys, I often make reference to Paul Check and some of my other mentors. He and I come from very similar schools of thought with that regard. He's a good friend of Paul's as well. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We're just going to let loose. Now, I've got a couple questions for him, but essentially I just want you to be able to get a good feeling for what he's doing. And without further ranting, I want to introduce Dr. Brian Walsh to the call. Brian, thanks for getting on the call with us.
Well, dude, thanks. That was a hell of an introduction. Hopefully
yeah.
I can live up to all that. That was good. I appreciate that.
No, absolutely. I know what you've got, and that's why I'm so excited about it. I am staring at a copy of your Fat Is Not Your Fault e-book right now. And I'm skimming through. I've read it already, but I'm skimming through just to make sure I didn't leave anything out when we had this conversation. If you could just do us a quick favor, for those of us who haven't heard of you, and you can learn more about Brian by, let's see, That Is Not Your Fault is the website for your book, but what is your blog?
The Fat Loss Doc. It's all this is kind of in the process of being built and created as I go, but thefatlossdoc.com is that's my blog. I try to my son was just born, so I've taken this week off, but I usually do a short 200 word plus or minus blog every day on some aspect as it pertains to health. And
okay.
From there, you can actually get to the rest of my sites, too.
Right, and that's what I just want to make clear to everyone. Go and check out his website, Fat Loss Doc, and don't let Brian's modesty fool you. The guy knows what he's talking about. He's pretty brilliant. And what I want to do is, if you don't mind, just give us a little bit about your background and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you like the 30-second version. That I was in the fitness industry for a long time. Actually, I was a personal trainer, NASM, CSCS, all the different certifications that you can get. And I did a lot. I worked with Paul Check and some of his stuff, and I did a lot with orthopedic rehab for a while. I sort of shifted gears. I became a massage therapist, so I could add that as a component to my services that I gave my clients. And then I really got deeply into nutrition. And my frustration was, is as a trainer and a massage therapist, that there was only so much that I could really do with good conscience in terms of telling people what they should do with nutrition or lifestyle or whatever. So I went to school to become a naturopathic physician, which is really, it's a doctor of natural medicine. It's a 4-year medical school degree. And that to me was the umbrella for which I could do all this stuff. We can do, you know, blood work and lab testing and, you know, diet. In certain states, we actually have prescriptive rights, so we can prescribe medications if we need to, or a variety of different things. So in some states, it's a primary care physician. Where I am right now is I'm not, unfortunately. But I went to school to be a naturopathic physician. I take a lot of stuff. I take all my time in the fitness industry, knowing about exercise and, you know, fat loss and muscle building and strength gain and all those types of things. But I have a very sort of natural viewpoint on things, not the tree-hugging type, but rather, you know, very, very much in biochemistry, very much in physiology, and I could spend hours and days and months just reading this stuff and seeing patients, and life is good. So that's about 30 seconds on me.
So Brian, you know, being a physician and being highly interested in the physiology and the deep breakdown of the human body and how it functions, could you tell us why it would be important for us? Like, let's say, I'm trying to look fit. You know, I want to have a little bit more energy, and that's about it. I don't need to know all the names of all the hormones. Why do you think it's important for me to know about my physiology, and how is that going to empower me to have more energy or to lose fat or anything like that?
Yeah, so before I answer that question, and this is why, again, I'm doing this interview with you and I don't, you know, interview with everybody. I really like what you're doing because it's not just about physiology. As much as I like that stuff, and it's so fun, it's linear, it's tangible, you could read it. It's kind of like a guy thing, you know, you could read. It's like you can fix a car, you know, it's nuts and bolts, it's biochemistry, it's fun. But we exist in this physical, emotional, mental, spiritual realm. All those things play exquisitely important roles. So, you know, I will say that I definitely exist in that area, very much so. But what we're talking about today is just physiology, because it does play a role, and it's grossly misunderstood, especially in the areas of fat loss, muscle gain, athletic performance, strength training, or any of those things. So that being said, if there is one thing that I could say that people fully understood, you know, like understood deep inside of them, it's that your physiology, your inner workings, your hormones, your liver, your thyroid, your guts, your nervous system, they dictate your body's response to diet and exercise. Like, I cannot say that enough. I want to, if I had 30 seconds on the air for the whole world to hear, I'd talk about world peace and loving each other, but I'd want to make that part really clear too, that your inner workings, we all hear about you have to diet and exercise to be healthy. But I'm going to put a twist on that. I'm going to say you have to be healthy for diet and exercise to even work for you. Okay, and to put it another way. So let's just think of a couple examples. Now, one, let's actually just take it away from the body for a second. Let's say you have the world's premier race car driver. And he's driving, I don't know, a Toyota Corolla. And let's say you're right next to him, Elliot Hulse, in a Ferrari. You may not have any kind of racing experience at all. Who's going to win the race? You will.
Oh, man.
You have a freaking, yeah. You have a Ferrari. I don't care how good you are at driving, you have a Ferrari. So to put it back on us, you can have two people, even twins if you want, entering in a strongman competition or a body transformation competition or whatever you want. Exact same diet, calorie for calorie, exact same exercise program, exact same intensity for which they do it. But one person has a dysfunctional thyroid gland, dysfunctional gastrointestinal system, and maybe some hormone issues. Who's going to do better? Period. It's an easy answer. So that just proves that in the case of the race car, the driver has very little to do with if they win the race or not. The professional race car driver is limited by the quality and the performance of their vehicle. Our response to diet and exercise is dictated by how well our physiology is working. And to put it in the most blunt way possible, if your physiology works great, your response to diet and exercise, whatever the program you're following, will be great. If your physiology sucks, your response and results are going to suck, period. And that's the problem with our society right now, is that we're told, oh, well, if you didn't do well with the Tabata method, it's because you weren't using kettlebells Or if you weren't didn't get any results using kettlebells, it's because you weren't doing, you know, farmer walks or, you know, whatever. All these things work, period. And it happens with diet. Well, you're not losing weight or gaining muscle because you're following the zone. You need to be following Atkins. Come on, seriously? Or you know, the Mediterranean diet. And I'm not saying that there are subtle differences with those, because there are. You know, the Tabata is different from kettlebells, and it is different from farmer walks, and it is different from all these different things. Zone is different from Atkins, is different from Pritikin. But how much are they different? Is it different to the degree that you will get no results on one and then tons on the other? Not necessarily. We have so much information about good diet. Like, what really are all the diet books telling you today? Whole food, organic when possible, drink water, fiber, fruits and vegetables, lean protein, right? Do we really need 3,000 diet books all telling us the same thing with some deviation? One will say eat a rainbow of vegetables. The other one says eat a slightly different ratio of proteins or carbohydrates or whatever. But at the end of the day, is that there's people out there that are not getting results from their diet and exercise program. And what they're told is you're doing the wrong diet and exercise program. And what I'm saying is it's your physiology. And nobody is looking at the physiology. And that, again, getting back to the race car driver, getting back to the twins performing in a competition, the person with the better physiology will get better results, whether you're trying to win an athletic competition, whether you're trying to lift more weight than anybody else, trying to lose fat, trying to build muscle, or whatever. So it's not all about physiology, but that's the missing piece that nobody's really paying attention to today.
Well, how do I know if my physiology screwed up?
Symptoms are a good one. I mean, to be honest with you, and I you know, I don't mean this to sound silly, but you know, if you have gas, gas and bloating, that's a GI issue. Like, you should not be able to fart on command. That's not normal. If you are able to do that, you have a GI issue. That's one. Low energy. I'll be honest with you, from a guy's point of view, and again, not to be smart about it, but you should wake up with an erection every morning. You should do that well into your 50s or 60s. That's just normal human male physiology. You should have a very strong sex drive well into your later years. You should not have low motivation. Low motivation, you're looking at probably hormonal issues. Low energy, same thing. Willpower, same thing. If you have any of these things, something's amiss. Besides symptoms, which are good, but they won't tell you exactly what's going on. For example, what is really low energy? Could be thyroid, could be anemia, could be gut, could be adrenals, could be blood sugar, is to do lab testing. I believe that everybody needs to get a blood chemistry at least once a year, and a good one, and have it read by somebody who knows what they're talking about. That's a huge problem today. I don't know if you want me to get into all that, but blood chemistry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do want you to talk about that, because I do have a question with regard to that. So now you're telling us, obviously, like, if you, I can go and buy a book and start a diet tomorrow. I can go and buy a Bowflex and start doing the Bowflex workout tomorrow. But what I hear you saying is that I need to go and get a lab test to tell me what's going on inside my body before I start manipulating the variables outside of my body, basically exercise.
Totally,
nutrition.
Totally.
So
yeah, I'll tell you what.
With that being said, a lot of us have this, at least I know through the experience that I've had with doctors, and I say this, not about naturopathic doctors, which hopefully you can enlighten us a little bit about what you do. But I've had, you know, for example, I had gas as a kid. I had gas in high school, really bad gas in high school and college, so bad that I started a martial arts class, and I had to quit because I farted so much during that class that no one wanted to work out with me. I'm not even joking. It was horrendous, horrible gas. I go to my doctor, and I ask him what's going on. I think he ran a test. And he gives me a prescription for Prilosec. Now, first of all, I don't want to take any pills. And second of all, Mike, I watch TV. I think Prilosec is on every single NFL game commercial, so I know that it's for heartburn, not the farting that I'm doing. Luckily, I had a friend that was of the same knowledge as you. I have a really good friend that understands what you understood. He said, hey, Elliot, you have a gastrointestinal problem. You are probably gluten intolerant. Why don't you remove these foods from your diet? So I was lucky with that regard. But now if some of the things that you just described, like if I don't have an erection when I wake up in the morning, if I have low motivation and I'm farting all the time, well, Brian, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to my doctor and have him give me a pill for my head, like Prozac or something? What's going to happen?
Well, you know, I mean, we talked a little bit before the call. I mean, we could talk for hours about this stuff because, you know, the state of doctors and medicine right now is just, it's abysmal. It's horrible. I cannot tell you how many people are not getting adequate care. You know, you go in with these symptoms. They run a horrible blood chemistry. You know, the insurance companies really dictate what is run nowadays. And they don't cover everything, so you get this really, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. They run a horrible blood chemistry, and the doctors don't know how to interpret it, and we'll talk about that in a sec. And then all they do is just give you drugs. You know, if you have some lack of motivation issues, they'll put you on Prozac or something. Or if you have, you know, testosterone issues, if you show that on a blood chemistry, maybe they'll put you on Androgel. But there are so many different defects in the male body that can all result in not low testosterone, but low testosterone symptoms that will actually be made worse if you go on testosterone. And again, if you know, remind me later if you want to talk about all these, where these defects could lie. But you know, from the top down, you could have neurotransmitter imbalances. Neurotransmitters like dopamine and acetylcholine for guys is responsible for the initial series of events that makes testosterone. So if you have low dopamine or low acetylcholine in your brain, neurotransmitter, your hypothalamus doesn't work well, your pituitary doesn't work well, your testes don't work well, you'll have low testosterone due to something going on in your brain, which is fixable, generally speaking. You can have a hypothalamus issue. You could have a pituitary issue. Your cortisol could be too high. You could be converting to DHT or estradiol. You can have too high of androstenedione. I mean, the point is you can have 10 guys all in front of each other, all lined up, having the exact same symptoms, low testosterone symptoms that you just talked about. And it's all from a different reason, and therefore it all has a different correction. It has a different treatment to it. Like the guy with low dopamine and acetylcholine, Androzel is not going to do anything for him. If it is, it's short-term, and he'll just be stuck forever, you know, going to doctors back and forth. Anyways, so getting back to blood chemistries. Here's the problem with blood chemistries, and I really feel bad for, you know, most people out there because you're not getting help. And you're fortunate to have, you know, guys tell you to stay off gluten and do these things. Here's just a little tidbit about this. This is where, you know, you say you rant. I have a few things that are real triggers for me. One of the problems with blood chemistries today that I think everybody needs to know. Actually, I'll ask you. We'll just do a little quiz. So when you get your blood chemistry run, you have your results, and it's compared to a reference range, right?
Right.
Do you know where that reference range comes from?
I've always wondered. I'm like, who is this perfect guy that has this reference range? Like,
okay,
who are they comparing
you
me
want,
to?
You want to know the? Here's the truth. The reference range comes from people that go to the doctor. Laboratories don't go out to do research as to what healthy reference ranges are. It costs money. Rather, what they do is they take the blood that's being given to them, and they use that to create the reference range. Now, if you've ever gone to go get your blood drawn, and like I said, I do mine every like 6 months, other people in the waiting room are, you know, diabetics, they're on oxygen, they're sitting in a wheelchair, they're elderly, they've had a flu for the past however many years, they have hepatitis, they may have cancer, congestive heart failure. Like, who goes to the doctors today? People that don't feel well. Nobody who feels great wakes up and is like, dude, I'm going to go get my blood drawn today, right? You wait till you feel like utter crap, then you go to the doctor. That's where the reference ranges are coming from. But here's the other kicker. Down in Florida, the reference ranges in Florida will differ from where I am in Maryland. Because it's when I said it's people that go to the doctor, it's per geographical location. So you could technically have diabetes in one state, move states, and then not be diabetic anymore because the reference ranges are different. And my question is, how does that pertain to health at all? It doesn't. If laboratory ranges can vary by state and by lab within the same state, and if it's based on a sick, diseased population of people who are going to the doctor, what that's saying is, seriously, if you went to the doctor tomorrow and you got your blood drawn and your values were all within the reference range, here's what they're saying. You are as healthy as 95% of the people who goes to the doctor today.
Oh, my God.
It's a bell-shaped curve. So you're as healthy as 95% of the people who go to the doctor. So anyways, you asked the question about it, do people go to their doctor? Yes and no. You know, yes, because you have to go. No, because A, the blood chemistries that they run nowadays suck. B, doctors don't know how to interpret them well, and C, even if they did and spent some time on your blood chemistry, the reference ranges are so broad, and that's the only ones that they use, they don't know how to interpret it. It basically, they're saying that you're either really, really sick or you're not really, really sick. They don't. It has nothing to do with health. So, you know, you ask a really good question, but, you know, I don't have a definitive answer because the help is not out there today. You have to find somebody good who runs a good blood chemistry, who knows how to interpret it, and who uses a tighter set of reference ranges that's based on health and not the reference ranges that the lab provides. So, you know, you ask a great question, and I don't have a great answer because, you know, it's just, it sucks out there right now. But what people who have symptoms need to do is, you know, research. Find somebody that can help you. Find somebody that can run these tests, that knows how to interpret them, will listen to you, and will actually help you out.
Okay. Well, the very first thing is you described the person who's having symptoms. That sounded like everybody I know, pretty much. I mean,
yeah,
all the things that you described is like, yeah, that sounds pretty normal. So I think it's safe to say that anyone listening to this call is probably a good candidate for what you're talking about. And hopefully we'll talk about it again later, and there's other resources that Brian has that you can check out. But those symptoms that he described, if you have to rewind it and listen to it, if you have one of those or if you're suffering from multiple of those, you are who he's talking about. And I know if the guys are listening to this, and Brian mentioned this earlier, they're like, you know, we're not going to go to the doctor. It's like, yeah, I haven't gotten a hard-on in 3 months, but it's like, who cares? You know, I'm not going to go to the doctor. My wife, we've already got enough kids. Whatever it is, we dismiss it. We don't think about these things. Now, I'm going to venture out and I guess answer my question, because I wanted to hear you say that that all the information, everything that you're talking about, we can learn more about in an in-depth way and even do something about through a book that you wrote. Is this correct?
Yeah, kind of. So I call it Fat Is Not Your Fault. I mean, it's a catchy title. It definitely gets people's attention because some people say when they first hear it, they're like, oh, geez, here goes another guy just, you know, saying we don't have to be responsible for anything. And honestly, that can be further from the truth. I think one of the biggest issues in our society today is a lack of accountability and responsibility. You know, we design our life. We design our thoughts. We're responsible for all these things. If you're fat and unhealthy, you had something to do with it. So then why is the question, why is fat is not your fault? The thing is if, like you, Elliot, you might have a thyroid issue and not know it. That's not your fault. You know, if you think that you do and you've been to the doctor and they don't know how to interpret tests and still tell you that your thyroid's fine, but when in fact it's not, that's not your fault. That's my whole point. Like, today, you know, I hope that that's clear. We need to take responsibility for our health, our life, and everything else. If we figure something out, it's our responsibility to fix it. But if you haven't figured out what your problem is yet first, it's not your fault. It's, you know, so that's the whole reason for the title. So what it is currently is Fat Is Not Your Fault is a, if you go to that website, it's a manual that covers the top 10 physiological reasons why you might not lose weight. There's a questionnaire that can help people figure out what system in them may be causing them the biggest issue. You know, different neurotransmitters, gastrointestinal issues, adrenal gland, thyroid gland, hormones, all these different things. Then there's an associated video that walks you through a little bit more about that system, like thyroid, about what tests to ask your doctor for. And that's it. So it was really designed as kind of this educational piece. Now, the feedback that I've gotten from people was, you know, I'd like to know how to fix these things. And so that's what I'm doing. In the next few months, the manual that you're reading through is the updated manual. And what I'm telling people right now is if they buy the current Fat Is Not Your Fault program, I send them the manual. It's not anywhere online yet. I just send it to them PDF via email. So they have that, and then if somebody orders now, in the next few months, when everything's done, then they get all the updated information as well. But the updated information will have how to interpret your own tests, where to get your own tests, and what to do about them. So it's a pretty big project. But
I just wanted to let anyone listening to the call find, like, realize how powerful what you just said is. Let me tell you a quick story and how it relates to what Brian is talking about. A few years back, I was having some real, like, bad stomach problems. I would have normally ignored it if I didn't know some of the things that Brian is talking about, but I recognized my poop looking in the toilet. I was like, damn, my shit doesn't look right. And this went on for about a year, and I was like, I got to do something. And I was flat broke at the time. I had a credit card. That's kind of where I was living. And what I had to do, I knew what I had to do, and it was inevitable because I'm all about living to my fullest potential. And like Ryan describes, your physiology being screwed up, everything on the outside of your life is going to materialize based on that. If you're shitty on the inside, your life's going to be shitty on the outside, some way, shape, or form. So I knew something had to be done. What I had to do, and I'm very grateful that I did, was I hired a doctor just like Brian, and he was a naturopath. And through our consultations, which cost me thousands of dollars when the whole thing was done, through our consultations, he asked me to do some of the lab tests that Brian's talking about. And he sent me some vials, and I had to take a crap in the vials. I sent the vials back to the lab. He got them from the lab. He read them to me and told me what I needed to do to rid myself of what happened to be a stomach infection. It's called H. pylori. He gave me exactly what I needed to do. 3 months later, I was like just awesome again. I mean, my energy was back. I was sleeping better. My poop looked normal. I mean, I was where I needed to be. I felt very good. What Brian is describing, that was the process that I had to go through 3 or 4 years ago. What Brian is doing is he's essentially cutting out, and mind you, I'm not saying that we don't need doctors, we absolutely need, but he's giving you, he's empowering you to do everything that I had to do through the naturopath on your own. He's going to show you how to take the right, assess yourself, find out what the hell is wrong, what tests you need to take, how to have them read, or how to read them on your own, and then what to do on your own. And I am, the reason why, Brian, I'm sorry I had to cut you off, but the reason why I'm so psyched and excited and shocked that this is even available to you is because this is the root, this is what everybody needs to do, and you're literally handing us the keys to our health. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big project, and people need this, you know. Like, some people don't have thousands of dollars, so if, you know, you buy the course, you can get the test yourself and kind of figure things out for a lot less. You know, and other people just don't have access to some of these doctors, so that's, you know, I'm just trying to bring it to the public. And like I said, it's, to my knowledge, it's never been done before, big picture like this. It's pretty big undertaking. Regarding your H. pylori, but, you know, you bring up a really good point, and that's just one example. You probably didn't even know this. H. pylori infections are the number one cause of gastric cancer. H. pylori infections have been shown to increase the cardiovascular risk markers like homocysteine, CRP, cholesterol, by the way. And, yeah, I mean, you not only helped yourself feel better, but you might have saved your life, dude. I mean, H. pylori, and that's the thing, and it's the number one infection in the world by the World Health Organization.
Really?
And if you have an H. pylori infection, I mean, you just hit it on the head. What you said was, I had more energy, I felt better, all this other stuff. If you have and this is just one example, that's why I did this course. It's like, if you have a thyroid issue, that will just totally screw you up all over the place. If you have neurotransmitter imbalances, that will screw you up all over the place. If you have a gut infection, that will totally screw you up. If you have an H. pylori infection, you cannot be healthy. You will have cardiovascular risk markers go up. You will have poor digestion. You can't break down protein to even absorb it, to even build back your muscles after you're done working out. You can't use amino acids to make neurotransmitters. You'll impact your hormones in a negative way. It's a stress, so H. pylori can actually increase cortisol. Increased cortisol causes blood sugar imbalances, causes more hormonal imbalances. I mean, I could weave this web for you, this neuroendocrine immune system web, just from an H. pylori infection, how it impacts all these other systems of your body simply because you have one lousy bug sitting there, stomach duodenum area. But if you miss that, if you don't catch that, you said it, you'll suck. Your energy will suck. Your ability to work, to make good decisions, to be a happy, healthy, productive individual in society, let alone things like muscle building or strength gain or athletic performance. And here's the thing. Some people sit around and say, you know what? Like, I'm doing fine in the gym. I'm getting stronger. Could you be getting even stronger or if you're trying to lose weight or burn fat, you know, maybe you lost 5 pounds. That's great. Maybe if everything was working well, you would have lost 15. You know, so these issues are very real. They are very present in many, many people today. And anyhow, so that's, you know, I think it's interesting that you found that H. pylori infection. And you said it. You didn't say my, you know, my farting went away or my heartburn went away. What you said is like, I felt great. I had more energy. I woke up, you know, early feeling ready to go. It just tells you these things are systemic. They're all over the whole body, and they impact everything else like this huge web. It's not just a hormone issue. It's not just a gut issue. If you have one of these, it impacts everything else.
Well, you said something that shed some light on my situation at the time. I had lost a lot of weight when I had this infection. And granted, I was during a very stressful time of my life. We just started our family. I started a new business. We were pretty broke and depressed at the time. And I was just, for me to weigh 180-something pounds, like 85 pounds, it's pretty weird. Like, I typically walk around well over 200 pounds. And I got really, really skinny. And as soon as I had that bug removed, and this is, you just made me think of it, I started gaining weight again. I started getting back to my college weight. I went up to, like, 205 and 215. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm pro-strongman. And it's like, I kind of attributed to, yeah, of course, I was training harder. But it's interesting that it almost just took the eradication of that bug to build my strength back up almost automatically.
Yeah, no. I mean, I will tell you I'm not surprised because that's how it works. Like I said, if you have a gut infection, it's a stress to your body. So you were putting yourself in sympathetic drive. You're probably increasing your cortisol. You're definitely impacting your immune system. You were definitely impacting your digestion. If you don't have hydrochloric acid, H. pylori, the way it survives is it burrows into your stomach and it stops hydrochloric acid production. That's how it survives. Hydrochloric acid is supposed to kill anything that goes in your stomach, including H. pylori. So it stops, it basically survives because it shuts down your own hydrochloric acid. If you don't have hydrochloric acid, you can't digest anything. You can't digest, break down proteins. You can't absorb things as well. Hydrochloric acid tells the rest of your digestive tract to work. Hydrochloric acid tells your pancreas to release digestive enzymes. It tells your bile to release your gallbladder to release bile to help emulsify and absorb fats. So if you have an H. pylori infection, you can't digest, absorb fats, fat-soluble vitamins, in some cases are hormones like vitamin D, proteins, which, you know, become muscle. Proteins become virtually any tissue of your body, including neurotransmitters. Sometimes when people have an H. pylori infection, they talk about brain fog. How the hell is that?
Yeah.
Neurotransmitters.
Oh, absolutely.
Like nervous system.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, here you are, you know, big dude, strong dude, doing your thing. You know, people can relate to you on the internet, and you had an H. pylori infection. I will tell you what, there are tons of your listeners or your people that follow you that have an H. pylori infection or that have a parasitic infection or have some kind of fungus or yeast growing in their gut. And all we're talking about right now is your gut. You know, there's thyroid impacts, there's hormone impacts, there's neurotransmitter imbalances, there's immune system imbalances, there's all these things. And what really gets me is none of this is being talked about in the fitness industry, the diet industry, the exercise industry. You know, people are just, like we started out, it's all diet and exercise, and that's crap. Like, you need those things to be healthy. But you cannot achieve optimal levels of health if you're walking around with a dysfunctional physiology, period. You can't. You can't even enjoy your life to its fullest. So that's why I'm trying to get that info out there, because here you are, you know, what would appear to be Joe average guy, I mean, above, you know, strength and, you know, good looks too and all that stuff, of course, right? But, you know, just you know, some average schmo on the internet that, or, you know, that you might find. But here you are, and you had this thing. And it's so common today, but nobody's talking about it. And I was just kidding. You know, there's nothing average about you, but you know what I'm saying.
I appreciate it. You know, you're really opening up a can of worms here for me. And I just wanted to ask you another question with regard to just this one bug that I had in my stomach. Now I'm thinking back, and I'm like, boy, my life was a wreck while I had that fucking bug in my belly.
Yeah.
I shortly after having it taken care of, because I did the things that you're talking about, I had it tested, and went through a protocol, there were some rashes. I had, like, rashes on my legs. Like, they were just nasty rashes that I had to scratch all the time. And I had that, and then prior to having it eradicated, I also had like a lot of anxiety. I thought it was stress because of money, but I'm wondering if the rashes or just the feeling of anxiety, like butterflies in my stomach 24 hours a day, had anything to do with having this the bug.
I'll tell you, it was poor digestion, part of it. It was 80% of your immune system is in your gut. So if you ever have a skin issue, a skin issue is an immune system issue, period. It's not a skin issue. Like anybody that tells you otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. Your immune system is upregulated for some reason, and it shows up on your skin, all right? Psoriasis, eczema, rashes, you name it. That's pretty much what it is. 80% of your immune system's in your gut. Your infection was in your gut. So you can see the correlation that this infection was impacting your immune system, which was, you know, causing these rashes. It was basically an immune system that was going a little bit crazy at the time because you had this infection. Butterflies in your stomach. And I already told you that an infection in your body is a stress. So you will have a certain amount of, sympathetic tone, if you will, or dominance, if you will. Maybe cortisol, maybe epinephrine. You know, everybody's a little bit different, but the anxiety could definitely have been coming from there as well. So, yeah, and there's the enteric nervous system is the nervous system of your gut. There's very strong connections between your gut and your brain. Very strong connections, in fact. And basically, if you have gut issues, you have brain issues. And I'm not talking about severe brain damage type stuff, but you will have if you have gut dysfunction, you have some degree of brain dysfunction. Period.
You mentioned like foggy brains and stuff, like thinking.
Whatever you want to call it. Some people will call it senior moments when they get older, but it can be just a gut infection. And I don't mean to just be talking about gut the whole time, but brain fog is a great one. Memory issues can be one too. That can be a consequence of gut or a consequence of adrenal dysfunction, like cortisol. Cortisol damages a part of your brain called your hippocampus that is what converts short-term to long-term memory. So if you can remember what you wore at your wedding, but you can't remember what you had for lunch 2 days ago, that's short-term to long-term memory. Hippocampus gets damaged by cortisol. You know, there's all these different correlations. That's the thing is, if you talk to just come up with like a condition, like diabetes, and I know, it's not common for your readers or listeners. If you talk to a neurologist about diabetes, they think diabetes is a certain thing. If you talk to an endocrinologist or a guy that knows about hormones, he thinks diabetes is something totally different. If you talk to a immunologist, they think diabetes is something totally different. The thing is all these things interact, and that's the point that I'm trying to make is, we're talking about gut right now, but if you have unhealthy guts, you will have hormonal imbalances. You will have immune system issues. 80% of it is in your immune system. You will have brain issues. Maybe it's motivation or willpower. Maybe it's food cravings, honestly, when you have certain neurotransmitter imbalances. And as we talked about earlier, neurotransmitters are key in telling certain aspects of your brain to tell the rest of your body to even make hormones in the first place. So anyhow, it all works together in this really awesome kind of web, but you can't just touch one thing without touching everything else.
Yeah, the approach that I hear you describing is like holistic or integrated. It's like you can't, like you described, if you were having like depression or something problem with your brain, and you go to like brain doctor or neurologist or psychologist, they're just going to look at your brain. They're just going to look at your thinking. They're going to say, okay, well, you've got some screwed up thoughts. Why don't we give you a pill to fix that? Meanwhile, what I think I hear you saying is like it could be that you've got a problem with your intestinal system.
Yeah, these pathways, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning, these pathways are so fun to try to figure out. I'm just trying to think of a good example. Well, gut infections, gut infections are a big one, but your gut is parasympathetically driven, let's just say that. So let's say somebody has some kind of infection, and I'm just talking about theoretical here, and I know you like this stuff too, so. But let's say somebody has some kind of infection, and then and they have like slow motility. Maybe they have tendencies towards constipation. All right, your thyroid gland is one of the things that dictates gut motility. If you have low thyroid function, you will be more prone to constipation. Right. So maybe this gut issue now is actually a thyroid issue. Your thyroid, as I was saying before too, your thyroid requires proper pituitary stimulation. Maybe the pituitary wasn't working well because you had high cortisol. Maybe you have high cortisol because you have like sympathetic dominance, and maybe you have sympathetic dominance because of something going on in your brain. But maybe, and this is where it gets fun, and I, you know, realize people are probably like, what the hell at this point, but maybe the issues with the brain was due to a food sensitivity in the gut in the first place, like gluten, for example. So gluten causes, you know, some brain issues. Brain causes sympathetic overload, causes cortisol to be high, suppresses the pituitary, suppresses thyroid function, and that suppresses, you know, GI motility. You end up with slow bowel movement or transit time. Stuff hangs out there longer, and then you end up with some kind of dysbiosis. And how does it present? You go to the doctor, you're like, dude, I fart all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not just farting. It's gut, thyroid, brain, cortisol, all this stuff. These things, there's some really awesome pathways that all work together, and you have to look at those things. What if you go in for constipation? What are they going to give you? Some kind of laxative. What does that do for that whole pathway that I just showed you? Nothing. What if somebody goes in for thyroid issues? You know, where they put you on Synthroid. Well, that doesn't fix the whole thing anyways, because it was cortisol that was suppressing the pituitary to get the thyroid to even work in the first place. And I realize this is really advanced, but all I'm trying to do is just paint a picture that, you know, all these things interact very close together, and it's not just about gas. It's not just about depression or lack of motivation or can't get an erection in the morning or whatever it is. Like, it's, and this is why I like what you're doing, because big picture, this is what you're teaching people. You're teaching people how to eat, how to think, how to be, from a holistic perspective. And ultimately, if you want to be everything that you can, you have to take all those things into consideration, including physiology. Because, you know, everybody's familiar with Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins says, you know, hop out of the bed in the morning and, you know, tell the world that you love it. You know what? If you have thyroid issues or gut issues or neurotransmitter imbalances, you don't even have the horsepower to do that. You can't. It is without, you physiologically cannot support getting out of bed energetically in the morning. It's not about that. So, but at the same time, you need healthy physiology to have healthy thoughts and back and forth. So it's really this big picture thing that people really need to be doing if they want to, you know, fully enjoy every day, not only enjoy it from a psychic point of view, but from an energy point of view, to get excited about your family and your wife and your kids and working out and, you know, and eating healthy becomes natural. You want to eat healthy because that's just where you are, you know. Anyway, so it's this whole big picture, and again, what we're really focusing on is physiology, but it's because it's the one piece that's missing. We have people telling us to diet and exercise. We have people like Anthony Robbins telling us to think healthy thoughts, but the underlying factor that people aren't talking about is you need healthy physiology to be able to do all these things and have it work for you.
Wow, I'm just absorbing everything you're just saying. It makes me think of, obviously you're painting a much detailed picture, much more detailed picture than what I'm about to describe. Actually, I could use your analogy of the car, your vehicle, your body being your vehicle. It really doesn't matter how good the driver is. So you're all amped up and excited because you saw Tony Robbins, and you want to do what he just told you to do, but you just sat in a Pinto. You're in a slow-moving, sluggish car that doesn't have its pistons firing properly. So it's like, I don't care how fired up you are, how good of a driver you are, or how great your intentions are, what you would like to see, have, be, and do. If you're driving a Pinto going against someone who's got a Ferrari like you described earlier, you're not going anywhere. So we've got to deal with those issues. Your body is, your body is like the mirror reflection of you. It acts like a mirror that reflects your intention, but if your mirror's all foggy and it's got like mud on it and it's like it's just like old and cracked, like I don't care how bright the sun is shining on your mirror, it's not going to reflect your true essence. You're all cracked, broken, and you got spit on it. So what I think I hear you saying is like, let's wipe the mirror clean. Let's balance the firing of the piston. Let's get out of the Pinto and build ourselves a Ferrari.
Yeah, well, and just to expound on your analogy, that, you know, you can go to an Anthony Robbins or a Tony Robbins seminar and be pumped up and be a great driver. You can go to the doctor and get put on Androgel, and that's like having a Pinto with really kick-ass tires. for example, but it's still a Pinto. Or, you know, maybe you go, and then maybe you go to some great personal trainer who has you doing some, like, awesome workouts, some great nutrition, and that might be a Ferrari chassis, but you still have the Pinto engine. The thing is if you want to get high performance out of your vehicle, out of your, in the entire picture, you know, if you have bad tires, you're not going to get good performance. If you have a bad engine, if you have a bad steering column, if you have bad poor alignment, if you have a bad, ugly chassis, if you yourself suck at driving, if your mirrors don't work, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you look at high performance, and not just to make this about, you know, like cars, but it's a great metaphor. When looking at high performance vehicles and these guys that are, you know, where a tenth of a second or even a tenth of a degree when they're turning can be the difference between wiping out or winning a race. You know, they have to have everything perfect. If any one thing, the slightest thing, is off, then it can end up disastrous or as victory. And it's the same with us. That's why I'm saying it's not diet and exercise. Yes, those are important. It's not just your mental capacities and your thoughts. That's totally important. You know, it's not just hormones, which is where most guys are, to be honest with you. It's all testosterone. No, it's not. You have to look at, like you talked about, food sensitivities, gluten, gut, brain function, you know, happy thoughts. You know, I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about it tonight. I just watched that autonomic nervous system video of balancing your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. And, you know, it has to do with all these things. If you want to win the race, you have to have everything working perfectly. And if it's not now, you at least have to focus on that and try to get it all working well. So, anyhow, yeah, you don't want a Pinto engine in a Ferrari chassis with nice tires and, you know, motivational tapes playing, because it's still a Pinto engine.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. This is nothing else you do means anything. I don't care if you're on the best diet and you're following the latest crazy workout or using kettlebells like you described before. None of that means anything. It's all useless if you're screwed up on the inside. And that's why, just to bring light to the six principles that I talk about all the time, you've got your character, you've got a strong physical body, and then you've got your physiology, which I call a strong heart. And I almost feel bad separating the two. I feel bad separating all of them into sixes. They're really all one. But you've got to, your character piston has to be firing, but if your physiology is not firing properly, your character piston is not going to fire properly. The whole engine is going to be off. And then you're not going to have a strong tribe. You're not going to be able to serve strong. It's going to be difficult to have a strong faith. Your body's going to be weak and ugly. So each one of those six principles has to be firing. But what Brian's talking about, and I refer to this as strong heart in that six principle model, is I would venture to say that it's the foundation or very close to that. They all mean something. But this is a pretty goddamn important one. If your physiology is screwed up, your physical strength, your character, your faith, your relationships, and your service to the world is useless. I don't care what kind of effort you put in any one of those directions. If you've got something as simple as an H. pylori infection like I described earlier, I could not, there's no way I could have maximized my potential in my, even my marriage was having problems at that time. I'm thinking back to that time in my life when I had this infection that you described, and my life was like pretty much in shambles. I don't know if it was like the egg or the chicken that came first, but it's like, there's no way I could be the character that would be my potential. There's no way that I could have the relationship. My body was not strong, and my service wasn't strong, which was part of the reason why my business wasn't good. And we can take a look and we can consider that the fact that my physiology was screwed up, like Brian just described, is the root issue, was the problem to begin with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny what you talked about. Is it's really easy to find somebody that's all about the mindset. That's everything, you know. Or it's all about the spiritual aspect, and that's where you should put all your eggs. And you know, I appreciate what you're saying, because to be honest with you, I don't agree with that. I think that the spirit is vastly important, and the whole spiritual aspect, and our mind, and our emotions, and the way we perceive things, and your character, and all these different things. But all of them ultimately feed into each other. It truly is like this web where if you pull one string, the rest of them are all going to be impacted. And so, you know, and I think it's easy and it's attractive to just say, well, I have the answer. It's all spiritual. But you know what? You knew where you were. You would not have prayed your way out of, I believe, and I'm very spiritual. I'm a very spiritual person. You would not have thought your way out of an H. pylori infection. You wouldn't have prayed your way out of an H. pylori infection. You couldn't have balanced your chakras and made that infection go away, in my opinion. But you know, and so it's not about just one egg and one bat. It's about all these things and how they all work together. And if you truly want holism, then you have to look at all of them. You have to give credence to some. Some people say, the physical body is the lowest energy vibration, and indeed it is. But you know what? Like, if you on a piano, the lowest vibrating note isn't playing right, your song's not going to sound good. Like, you really need to have everything working well together.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% correct. And you speak my sentiments clearly. I believe in everything that you're saying. I believe in everything that you're doing. And I'm psyched to get on board with everything that you have projected for the future. The things that you're talking about with regard to empowering us with the ability to test. And even if you're just curious, even if, like, what we're talking about here tonight, you're kind of not too sure about, here's what I would invite you to do first. Brian wrote an ebook, which is brilliant, which is great. I mean, it's the greatest form of service that he could have possibly come up with, was to take all of the ideas that he has in his head and jot it down on paper for us. So listening to this call is a great introduction to what he's doing, but get his book. Absolutely, 100%. If you want to be the strongest version of you, if you believe in what I tell you about the six principles, you need to understand the things that he's talking about, at least to have a good idea of what's going on. And not everybody needs to be a doctor. Not everybody needs to be a physiologist. Not everybody has to be fluent in what he's talking about. But you need to have sort of an understanding, be able to grasp what's going on, and then form a curiosity as to why you may not be performing in certain other areas of your life. So, and it could possibly be to a physiology imbalance. So definitely go and grab that. And then the next thing I would invite you to do is to follow and watch what he's doing. I'm going to be watching very closely what Brian's doing, and you're going to hear a lot more from him on this website and some of the things that we're doing. And I'm psyched up. I mean, as I'm listening to you, I don't want to interject my personal life too much into this conversation, but I am curious, and maybe other people are curious as well. Cat out of the bag, I don't go to the doctor, and pretty much my family doesn't go to the doctor. We don't go to doctors. In fact, my daughter got really sick one day, and we have our hands tied, and we're like, she needs antibiotics. And, you know, against my wife and I's will, we took her to get antibiotics, and we knew that it was going to be a problem, but we're like, she needs it. So she had a really bad infection. Took antibiotics. I recognized that her poop was all screwed up for weeks. It wasn't getting better. And her appetite was going down, and her character started changing. She was acting funny. She was acting weird. I was like, Holly, she's got something funny in her gut. Her stomach screwed up. Take her to the doctor and have them test her for yeast or parasites, because I'm pretty sure that that's what she's got. And she started getting, like, little things on her skin, too. I was like, yeah, she screwed up. The antibiotic screwed her up. Just take her to the doctor. Colleen takes her to the doctor. The doctor's like, no, there's absolutely no way that the antibiotic could have done anything to her. That doesn't make any sense. I was like, right. Just ask her, please, could you do us a favor? Just, I know we're silly. Just do us a favor. Appease us by doing these tests. Could you please? She did the test. And to her astonishment, my daughter came back having, I believe, it was a yeast infection. Oh, yeah, well, great. Yep. She thought we were brilliant, and we were like, yeah, you're an idiot, and we just had to use you as a tool to get our test done.
Right.
So that's our experience with doctors. We've used them as tools to get what we believe needs to be done, even if we have to manipulate and steer them. What I would like to do, and I don't know if you're even available or how you do it, we haven't spoken to this in this direction much lately, but I want to use you as my resource for the health of my family. Do you do phone consultations? I know that you're in Maryland, but if I come up with things like this and your product about being able to test ourselves is not out yet, can we hire you? Can we talk to you? How can we get in touch with you to find out what's going on?
A lot of my practice is done consulting long distance, yeah. There's only a couple states I can't order tests in, and it's because of the laws of that state. But, I do blood chemistries, adrenal tests, gut tests, hormone tests, ship you supplements, all that stuff. So, Yeah, no, that's a big part of my practice. My wife's a naturopath too. She sees a lot of people locally here for female hormone issues, but I do a lot of my stuff online.
Well, that's beautiful because you're my man from here on out. Your website, now correct me if I'm wrong, the website for your practice is drbrianpwalsh.com. Is that?
Yeah, it's drbrianp as in Paul Walsh, walsh.com. And my wife and I, we're sort of rebranding our business a bit, so we have some other things coming up the pipe sometime soon. But, yeah, so you go there, and that's my email, and you know, I'm pretty easy to contact. So if people are interested in that stuff, they can do that too.
Okay, good. So we can work with you over the phone and via online.
Oh, yeah.
You guys hear me saying it right now, and this is my true sentiment. You guys hear me. I'm as transparent as it comes. You know me. I tell you everything about what's going on in my life. I trust Brian with the health of my family. I am telling you right now, he is my go-to guy. If you ever wonder, like, what the hell does Elliot do? He's such a freaking rebel. Well, this is what I do. And he's the guy that I'm going to be talking to when my family is in need of health guidance. And I would encourage you to at least check out his information. And if you have any questions, concerns, he's telling you right now, feel free to email him. You can do a consultation and obviously work it out with him. But this is definitely the direction that I'm going in. I encourage you, if you're interested in anything that I've been talking about with regard to maximizing your potential, becoming the strongest version of yourself, developing the strong heart, which represents physiology and the six principles, get in touch with Brian. But anyway, Brian, you've got a brand new baby, and I know sleep is a commodity in your home right now, and I feel pretty much the same way. We've got another one on the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hold you much longer. I appreciate you getting on the call. Before I let you go, is there one or two other things you want to relay to us? Otherwise, I'll let you go.
No, I appreciate that. But life's too short to blow smoke or to say anything else that's anything other than the truth. And I just, you know, there is a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual aspect, and maybe more, to all of us, to our existence. The physical is very real. And again, I sort of started out the call saying this, but your physiology dictates, as much as your mindset, as much as your emotions and these other things, it dictates your response, your ability, your results from diet, from exercise, and ultimately your life. I mean, your just to use one other organ, your brain's function dictates your perception of the world. So the better your brain functions, the better decisions you make. You know, different ways that you can see things, your response to things. So, you know, never discount it. It's not just about, if you can't have happy thoughts, if you're having a hard time with that, maybe it's brain issues. And I'm not talking about big issues, but, you know, like neurotransmitter imbalances, really subtle things that you can really address nutritionally. So anyways, just don't discount the body. Don't discount symptoms. If you have symptoms and if you're getting frustrated with exercise performance, diet's not working for you, self-help books, you know, don't seem to be working, then, you know, really consider that it might be your physiology that's driving some of these things. So that's it.
Absolutely. Brian, thank you once again, and we'll be talking again soon, my man. I wish you a good night, and we'll link up again soon.
Perfect.
Thanks,
buddy.
Good night, buddy.
All right, Elliot.